Man, good morning. I got to tell you, I'm wearing my jersey for two reasons. Number one, I miss my wife so bad. And she's a Seahawk, and this is her jersey. Number two, I wore it because I'm here to tell you, I'm in the game. I'm here. I'm in the game. I mess the plays up sometimes. I get winded, and I'm laying on the floor trying to breathe sometimes. I'm here to see how we can push back the opposition. I'm going to see if we can actually win this thing. This is going to be the first of a two-part thing. We'll wrap it up next week. We've been talking about redemption. We've been talking about reconciliation. We've been talking about our role. Whose job is it? Whose job is it to make peace? Whose job is it to build justice? Whose job is it to build bridges? Whose job is it? It's my job. It's your job. It's your job. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit to do it. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring people together. Paul said to convince people to drop their offenses with each other. We've been talking about if we're going to do it and we're going to be effective, we got to do it like Jesus did it. We got to look at how God, when God came to earth and started making stuff right and showing us what to do, we got to do it like that. We talked about incarnation, getting our hands dirty. We talked about creativity, using what's around us. You don't need a budget to build the kingdom. It's nice when you have one, but you don't need one. You don't need a big platform to have influence. It's nice to have one, but you don't need it. We use what's around us. It's what Jesus did. That was Jesus. We need to feed people. We got a little kid's lunch. Well, that's what we're going to use. So we talked about that. So I want to ask you, how's that going? Because we also talked about starting here. Remember that? You are here. I talk to people every day. How am I building the kingdom in that? I confess to you that I was grumpy grump pants and, you know, like ignored the kids in the morning, like tried to stay hidden because, like, I don't want to deal with it. And that was something God was dealing with me on. How about you? Has anybody gotten their hands dirty lately in reconciliation? Has anybody gotten creative working for redemption? That's amazing. Has anybody had any conversations lately with people that maybe you didn't expect? Is it happening? Is God opening your eyes to ways to be creative, ways to use what you have, ways to use the influence and the conversations that are going to come to you anyway? Is it happening? That's amazing. I'll tell you, it's been happening for me too. So we're just going to touch base with some more of that. But you hit roadblocks along the way. You run up on things that are difficult. Like if we were a team, if we were a football team and we got our plays and we're like, yes, we know what to do. And then we actually play the game. And you learn maybe, oh, we need to work on something. We weren't anticipating that. You have to get started. Then you kind of deal with what the roadblock is and you deal with what the difficulty was. And so there's lots of examples of that in the Bible. That's what the whole New Testament is people writing to folks that hit some roadblocks. Like, woo, we're going to build the kingdom. Whoa, it's harder than we thought. Whoa, we didn't see that coming. Whoa, there's false teachers. Whoa, there's persecution. Whoa, there's poverty. What do we do? That's where you start. And then you realize it gets complicated. And that's why all these letters in the New Testament, so many of them, that's what it is. It's people writing back to the group saying, I know. Yeah, it's complicated. Let's address what you're going through. I find it really cool that Apostle John has been speaking to us all morning. John, the son of thunder. John, the disciple of love. John, that I don't know who wrote the song, I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand. I've never read the song about, read the, like, the history of that song, but what I think it's about is at the Last Supper, they're all sitting around drinking, eating, hootin' Annie, talking, you know, shooting the breeze, talking the scores, whatever, you know. And there's one guy in the corner that's not buzzing around all this other stuff. There's one guy in the corner that's laying back on Jesus. And when they get to talking about something important, they'd be like, John, ask him this. What does he mean? Because Jesus said, you know, funny things. And so they'd be like, John, what does he mean? Because John was the one that was always like, there. Close. Drinking from the cup. So that's who we're going to hear from today. We've already been hearing from him today. 1 John, it's a short letter. It's 5 chapters. It will take about 8 minutes for the audio Bible to read it to you. So, but I put some highlights up there. So I want you to read 1 John this week. You're going to read 1 John this week. But these are just some kind of highlights that I want you to kind of have in mind as we talk. And then we're going to read those. And it's stuff you've heard. You may not have known where it came from. But if we walk in the light, God himself being the light, we also experience a shared life with one another. Remember, he's writing back to people that got started. It got complicated. Anyone who claims to be intimate with God ought to live the same kind of life Jesus lived. Anyone who claims to live in God's light and hates a brother or sister is still in the dark. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. God knows more about us than we do ourselves. Don't believe everything you hear, and God is love. So that's kind of like highlight, recap, Cliff Notes version. Read the whole thing this week, okay? So John is writing back to a group of people for whom it got complicated. Specifically for that group, there were false teachers. And there was, like, worldliness, which is everywhere all the time. Which is that whole thing where we're not going to do things like the world does them. We're going to do things like Jesus does them, which is kind of upside down sometimes. We love our enemies. We pray for the people that spitefully use us. The last is the first, and the least is the greatest, and the weakness is strength. Right? That wonky thing. So that's what John is writing about. And specifically what I see when I read 1 John, you can read it and you can let me know what you think. I think if you could boil down what this group was dealing with, the roadblocks, the complications, the things that were tripping them up a little bit. What I see when I boil it all down is two things. I see confusion and I see hesitancy. And the reason I'm preaching out of this today is because that happens to be the same thing I see when I turn on my Facebook. I see confusion. I see hesitancy. And I mean, I see it in the body of Christ. I'm not talking about the world. I'm not talking about the system. That's crazy anyway. But I'm talking among people who love the Lord, who are really trying to do this thing. Confusion and hesitancy. I see it in the Facebook. I see it. I hear it in my conversations. I feel it in my own internal conversation. Can I just be honest about that? I feel confusion. I feel hesitancy. Sometimes I can't tell whose side I'm on. I can't tell who my enemy is. I can't tell who I should be mad at. I feel hesitancy because I feel like I need to do something and then I don't. I feel like I need to say something and then I don't. I see that in this letter. I see that that's what John addresses with these folks. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Pastor John, for writing and helping us figure some of this out. Let me tell you what I mean by confusion and hesitancy. Because that, you know, I boiled down those words from reading this many times. And I realize you're just now hearing it. So Let me show you what I mean. Confusion and hesitancy put playmakers on the sidelines. And let me just show you what I see in my mind. These are some playmakers. It's my Seahawks. I'm married into it. I don't really care that much, but I really love my wife, and she somehow brought me over to this strange world of football. Anyway, but look at that. Man, they're built for it. They're made for it. They've trained for it. They were born for it. I don't care how much I train. I'm not going to look like that, and I can't do what they do. They were born to do what they do. They have trained. People have invested in them. Look at that. Don't flip it yet. I need to see what's coming. I forgot. Okay, yeah, so playmakers, that's like us in the kingdom. Remember, we are salt. We are light. We are justice builders. We are reconcilers. We are peacemakers. This game that we see, it's got our name all over it. We're made for it. We were born for it. We were reborn for it. We've been gifted for it. We've been anointed for it. It ain't nobody else's job to reconcile the world like it's our job. We're gifted. We're anointed to do the thing, to make the peace, to build the justice, to live like Jesus. And I want you to know, it's not just in other people that I see this. I see this in myself. And instead of that, flip it for me. Let me tell you what I see. Instead of being in the game, instead of making the plays, instead of building the justice and making the peace and having the conversations and doing it like Jesus does it, we get mad, we get fired up, just like the players on the field. We're fired up, we've got to go on, yeah! But instead of getting in the game and making the plays, we paint ourselves up with some kind of ideology and we stand around screaming like idiots. Let me rephrase that. I paint myself up with some kind of ideology and I stand around screaming like an idiot. I'm not trying to point my finger at you, but I have a feeling you're just where I am. You're upset. You're torn up. And for some reason, we fall in this trap where we grab a flag, we grab a bumper sticker, we grab an ideology, and we just stand around screaming about it. We're called to play in the game, but we're stuck in the stands. We're passionate and we're moved by the Spirit, but we're sidelined. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're this guy. What is happening and what can I do? And why do I have this pain on my face? And what does it mean? And maybe you're this guy. You got your face painted, this guy with the mohawk. But you don't even really know why you're here. You're like, my friends think this, and they're all about this thing, and they said this is how I should feel, and I really just would rather, he would rather be anywhere but there. But he's there because that's what the people around him are doing. This is not us, and I want you to think about, he's up here screaming his head off in the stands. You are gifted and trained and called to be on the field. Why are you up here screaming in the stands? He's born to be on the field. And I'm telling you, we are born to be on the field, making the plays, building the justice, making the peace, building the bridges, not bewildered, not bored. Not that. That's not us. That's the world. Let the world be bewildered. Let the world be so mad you can't even understand what they're saying. Let the world be bored to death and just there, because let that not be the church of Jesus Christ. We are not bored. We are not bewildered. We are not so angry that we cannot stop and think and make a sentence that makes sense. That is not the Spirit of God alive. The Lord's given us power. And self-control, what's in between power and self-control? Love. He's given us a spirit of power and love and self-control. That's how we're going to get something done. Confusion and hesitancy, screaming in the stands, this is what it leads to. Because we get so fired up about something that might not even matter, like a football game or whatever. We're just going to go and punch somebody. And that is how, man, that's how I see the church sometimes. I see them beating up on each other. I see them calling each other names. I see them belittling each other. And this is what happens. I see us saying, you did it wrong. If you had done this, it would be different. This is what community in action looks like. It's a team. We're in this together. They're probably mad at each other. They drop the ball. They drop the ball. They mess up the play. Whatever. But when you're on the field, you're making plays. You don't have time to punch somebody for something that doesn't matter. Because you're doing the thing. I've noticed my friends on Facebook, the ones you don't see get caught up in silly arguments are the ones who actually, with their lives, do things regarding justice. My friends that like bring clean water all over the world, I'm never going to see them getting caught up in some silly argument. Because they're actually doing stuff. You don't need to yell. You don't need to punch somebody when you're actually doing something. I'm not saying don't yell. I'm not saying don't use your voice. I'm saying it looks way different when the Spirit of God uses a voice than when the world gets you so in a tizzy. You ever heard of that? Just in a tizzy. We're not meant to be in a tizzy. We're meant to be powerful. So when I say confusion, this is what I mean. Because these are the roadblocks that John talks about. All of these came from John, 1 John. Here's the confusion. What team am I on? Who is my actual opposition? I'm not really sure whose team I'm on. I'm not really sure who I'm supposed to be mad at. I'm not really sure who my enemy is. Scripture tells us that our fight is not with people. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but we do wrestle with principalities, with powers, with messed up systems. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with people. That doesn't mean you don't speak to people about real things. But when you have believers, and again, I'm preaching to the church. This is about the church. And when you've got believers yelling at each other two different things and both using scripture to back them up, neither one of them is on the right team in that moment. And that is me, like, daily. I play for the wrong team every once in a while, like every day. I get mad at someone. I blame someone. I shut it down. I don't want to listen anymore. I don't want to have a good conversation. I'm over it, and it's your fault. How is it that I actually am meant to fight? How is it that I'm actually meant to engage in what's going on? Anyone who claims to live in God's light and hates a brother or sister is still in the dark. When you're upset about something, it's easy to just blame the person on the other side of the conversation. And then that's all you do. You're wrong. But we're meant to be thinking people. I am not saying there is not a right and wrong. I'm saying it doesn't help to just point your finger and say, you're wrong. Find a way to get in the game on that issue. When you feel upset, when you feel passion, when the Spirit is saying, this ain't right, find the Jesus solution. Find the solution that works. Find the solution that keeps you on the same team as people. Put yourself in opposition to poverty. Put yourself in opposition to racism. Put yourself in opposition to discrimination. Put yourself in opposition to those things and work against them. When you start doing what Jesus is doing, when you start joining the work God's doing, if you're wrong, He'll make you right. If you got something, if you're not thinking about it the right way, I believe God is making us new every day. What's the game plan? What is my action? And then something else that confuses us is, what's that shiny thing over there? Squirrel! I mean, I'm going to take it old school right now, but I'm going to say there's still an enemy in the world. There's still an opposition in the world. There is still a great distraction in the world that wants darkness to win. Wants to see people broken. Wants to see people poor. Wants to see people at odds. Wants to see people at war. And that enemy, that distraction, that opposition will use the left side folks and the right side folks and the brown folks and the white folks, the Christian folks, the non-Christian folks. Beware of that. I'm not saying be scared of that, but beware that there are things that draw our attention away, make you want to hate somebody, make you want to get distracted over here and not actually do anything. Stay focused. Don't get confused. The world's not going to get us. Jesus said that. I see so much and I feel so much that I look at the world. I look at what the world is telling me, what the news is telling me, what the newspaper tells me. And it's like, I just have to pick the closest one that I can maybe believe or get behind. And like, that's okay. This represents me and this is what I believe. And then I'm just the guy painted up and like, I don't really know why I'm here. Because this isn't quite it. Let us not forget, the world is not going to offer anything that makes all the sense. It's the world. It's the world. I even find that really hard to say because I'm probably so worldly and so I'm in that trap. Jesus said the world's going to hate you. They're not going to get you. They're not going to necessarily represent you, and that's just how it's going to be. Don't be scared of that, but don't get distracted by it either. Just because you happen to align with this group on most things, that doesn't mean you're going to align on everything. And that doesn't mean that you don't obey Jesus when it diverges. I was raised a certain way. This is like just a personal and non-charged way to talk about this. I was raised in the mountains. That's who I am. Love that. Have allegiance to that. Allegiance to those people. The way we cook, the way we live, the way we talk. I'm proud of that. That's part of who I am. I'm loyal to that. Until it diverges from Jesus. And when my mountain culture diverges from truth, and it does, because they all do. Everything here does, every ideology, even if the great one. Every culture, even the beautiful ones, because we're human. And at times, a part of our identity diverges from truth. That's what Paul was talking about when he's like, you're a citizen of heaven on pilgrimage here in this earth. And when it comes down to truth, when it comes down to what God has said, when it comes down to what Jesus has said, I have to leave that culture at the door. I have to leave that ideology at the door. And we're all going to have to. We're going to have to say, I choose you, Jesus. I choose your word. I choose your truth. What I am saying is think and pray and discern. Because for some reason in our culture here, and I don't know if it's a Western thing, I don't know if it's like this age, what it is, like we'd rather somebody just tell us what to do. Like, don't watch the news, and that's what we're going to do now, not watch the news. I'm saying think, discern. When you see something, when you hear something, when you're confronted with something that, ooh, irritates you, makes you mad, it's not right. Think. C.S. Lewis said, Christianity requires no education because it in itself is an education. Our mind is meant to expand and grow, and we're meant to get smarter as we dive into the Word. Boy, that seems to be a little bit upside down from what we see, huh? Discern. Pray. Where's God? So that's confusion. And then we have hesitancy. We're hesitant to get on the field because, well, I don't have everything together. And if I get on the field, everyone will see that, maybe. And I'm not perfect, but I'm afraid to say that and let that, you know, so I'll just, like, stay on the sideline. John says, if we claim we're free of sin, we're only fooling ourselves. A claim like that is arrant nonsense. On the other hand, if we admit our sins, make a clean breast of them, he won't let us down. He'll be true to himself. He'll forgive our sins and purge us of all our wrongdoing. It's like Ryan said, just get to it. Just go to God. I don't have it figured out. And that is trust that you really are making me new. I'll leave that there. There's so much more in that. But We're hesitant because I don't know what God wants me to do. Have you said that? Have you felt that? I don't know what God wants me to do. Please tell me I'm not alone in that. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I think that's where that John conversation comes in. I think that's where that song Lloyd is saying comes in. We sit at the feet. We ask. Remember back in Matthew chapter 10, what we've been talking about, when Jesus looked at the crowd and he was disturbed, what's the first thing he did? He prayed. He prayed, what do I do? What do we do? I don't know, but I think Jesus might. Ask. And then don't be surprised if he tells you to do something that like wasn't what you expected. It might be something, it might just be a conversation that leads to something else that you don't even know. It's valid that you don't know what God wants you to do. Press in to know. Keep asking. Knock, and it'll be answered. The verb tense is keep on knocking. It's the progressive tense. Ask, keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Press in. Talk to people. Read the Word. If you don't know how to read the Word, pull out your iPhone. Download the Bible app. Make it read to you on your way to work. Do it. Somebody's going to do that this week. I felt like the Lord told me that this morning. You're going to download the app. You're going to listen to 1 John. You're going to listen to James. And you're going to start to get an idea of what God is having you do. And then the next thing, oh man, this is so, oh, I hate this. I hate this in myself and I hate it when I see it in other people. Hesitancy. I'm not strong enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not saved enough. I'm not sanctified enough. I'm not rich enough. I'm not powerful enough. I'm not talented enough. I don't have enough influence. Don't forget, the Spirit of God that created the universe is empowering this work. Again in 1 John, you'll read it when you read it this week. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. That's who we really are. Paul said, in my weakness, you are strong. You make up the difference. I step out and I do something, don't even make up the difference. Start. Try. What I'm learning is the things that frustrate me, that I think I got to do something about. I think I need to speak. I think I need to act. I think God's calling me to do something. I stay frustrated until I start. And even when I start and mess completely up, there's been things burning in me, and I try it, and man, after it, I'm like, that was super embarrassing. Because I fell, or I messed up. It wasn't perfect. But that frustration turns into something else. Productivity. Determination. You start narrowing down, okay, this is really how I'm going to run that play. But you don't know till you get out there and try something. Try something. Have things opened up in your life since you started doing that? Connections, people probably message you. You've gotten to talk to people. You've gotten to have conversations you never would have had. It's simple. I do the same thing, so I can say that's a simple thing. You turn on a computer. You sit there with your guitar. You play. It's simple. It's silly. You feel silly. I know. I do it weekly. And God brings bigger stuff through it. You got to try. Reach for it. Our parent is going to make up the difference. But I'm asking you for real, what are you fired up about? Maybe you're even mad about it. It's risky to ask that, I know. What are you fired up about? What are you mad about? Are you sidelined on that thing? I'm going to ask you specifically about pride. You feel a little frustrated with not having something? You don't have to like nod, but I would like to hear from you later because we're going to put it to work. And all the other people that are mad about pride right now, whatever, you're mad, upset, concerned, whatever. I love you, and I'm not going to let you sit and stew in that. I'm not going to let you maybe get mad at whoever and stuff you don't even know about and sit around and do what we always do. We always just sit around, well, they should have did that. But I'm going to put that to work. If you're concerned, is that a nicer word? If you're concerned that we're not having an official pride thing, let's put it to work. Let's get you out there. Let's get you some signs. Let's get you some cards. Let's talk about how to approach people. Let's do that. Okay? Will you meet me after church next Sunday? I think Pastor Keith will be here. He's got some signs. We're going to gather up the resources that we have from years past. Probably my sermon next week will have a lot to do with ways to engage people, not just at Pride, but in general. What does it look like to practice real love, like John said? I'm going to help you do it. Is that a deal? Okay, so think about that. Pray about that. Get fired up. That's okay. Because next week, we'll talk about how to channel that, how to not, like, punch anyone. We're going to have resources here. We're going to mobilize you to go do something. Does that sound good? Is that a deal? You're awesome. Mm-hmm.